By the end of 1944, Oklahoma City actually lagged the rest of the state in memberships. Tulsa was leading in enrollments.
Of course, I wasn't around, but I remember Ralph telling stories. They would go out and blanket the state. In fact, there's a picture in our history book of Ralph with a trailer. That's really how they marketed the plan. They would go into a community, set up shop, and do enrollment meetings there on Main Street, put a banner up on Main Street. I think just the fact that Tulsa was the home office probably led to more enrollment being over here in the northeastern part of the state and then gradually working its way toward the Oklahoma City and the Panhandle area.
And that's because there wasn't any competition. They just assumed this is the way we're going to ensure our people, these plans.
Right.
And so you got a lot of free publicity.
Well, a lot of it we generated on our own. But it was free, no question about that. It had to come through the Tulsa Club is how that all occurred. The guys that put up the money all then enrolled their employees. Tulsa was first, so Oklahoma City was not as homogeneous as Tulsa was in that regard.
You've already addressed this, but the late 40s then was when the plan actually moved into the Akdar Shrine building.
Yes.
I used to work for KRMG.
Right above us.
And I didn't work there then. But they would talk about the live music on the second floor, I believe.
Actually, it was the first floor. We were in the basement, and KRMG was on the first floor.
And they'd have these live Western bands in there, and you could hear that.
We could hear it. My background, however, originally was with KVOO, even before I got involved with KTUL.
At KVOO, what did you do?
I was trying to be an announcer. It wasn't very successful, but that's what I was trying to do.
Were you around any of the Wills and those people?
Well, I spent some time up there. When you're going to school at TU, they send you out into the community, which they did. And we went to KVOO to do back-to-college programs. It was back-to-college programs that I met Ben Henneke, who then became president of Tulsa University.
I interviewed Dr. Henneke. Those listening to this, you'll be able to listen to him elsewhere on this website, who talks very much about back to college. It was his idea, actually, I believe.
Yes, it was his idea. I got acquainted with him in Joplin, Missouri, which is where I went to high school. He came up and did a back to college program up there because I asked a lot of questions of him at that program that they put on for the high school. He made me promise that if I ever got to Tulsa, I'd come by and see him. He was then in charge of the speech and theater department at TU. That's what brought me to Tulsa, was to see Ben Henneke before I went to Colorado. And he says, why don't you just stay right here and go to school at TU? And I did.
Great choices. Great people. Talking about all the free publicity you got, radio and TVs, they just came out and promoted that. That'd be something unheard of today, but they did that for sure because they thought, and they were doing a very good thing.
Yes, because the doctors in most of the local communities and the hospitals sponsored Blue Cross and Blue Shield. The doctors asked their pharmacists to cooperate, and the pharmacy cooperated. So we had a built-in group of people that knew about Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and they spread the word.
The Blue Shield plan began as Oklahoma Physician Services, which was a companion then to Blue Cross.
In 1945, that was 5 years later after the Blue Cross plan came along.
The Blue Shield, how did that come about?
That came about because doctors in other parts of the country wanted to have a prepaid health care plan. So the doctors here, primarily in Tulsa, wanted a prepaid medical care plan. That's how come the Blue Shield plan started here in Tulsa with Blue Cross.
In 1954, the Oklahoma Blue Cross plan introduced extended benefits that covered the dread diseases, polio, scarlet fever, rabies, and that type of thing. By the end of that year, almost 250,000 Blue Cross members had enrolled in the extended benefits program. What was this doing to hospitals? Were they having to expand as this was happening?
The thing that the federal government did was at the urging of the veterans that came back from World War II, the Hill-Burton funding program to build hospitals in communities was started. Incidentally, the first hospital in Oklahoma, first hospital in the country, too, to get Hill-Burton funds to build a hospital was in Nowata, Oklahoma. So the doctors wanted to try out prepaid health care to see if it worked. And there were some forward-looking doctors who got behind it. And that's why Blue Shield came into being. The shield was later based on the American Medical Association symbol.
Rising costs. We're talking about that today. This is when that started becoming an issue.
Yeah, well, John, back on your question about Blue Shield on the physician side, throughout history, if you look on the healthcare dollar, about 60 cents of every dollar usually is accounted for on the hospital side, but there's about 30% on the physician side and then 10% on what we call pharmacy and other medical expense. So that 30% got to starting to be a huge expense for people, and the hospital side was so successful with CROSS that the doctor said, well, we need something similar to that because that big portion of the health dollar is getting to be really expensive. And that's what really generated the need for the Blue Shield side. But cost has always been an issue, and the rising cost has always been something that, you know, we've been addressing since day one. Probably always will.